Reformed Church.
In Numbers 14, there was one spot that really stood out to me in verse number 3, and this is the AKJV, Numbers 14:3, and this is what the people of Israel complained. They said, "And why has the Lord brought us to this land?" It says, "To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" You know, and just, you know, what that made me think about is, and this has come up in kind of in different conversation. I think even in a conversation that we were having on the way here, it came up. But when people, well, and even I was even talking with my mom today, earlier today, and it came up again. You know, when people don't know or are not presented with just the goodness of God, you know, you can see, you can see things going on in the world. You can see stuff happening, and you can really misjudge the Lord. You know, I was just talking to someone on Sunday, very similar thing. You know, how, you know, you see death, you see corruption in the world, and it's like kind of like, you know, where is God in all this? You know, you get saved, right? And when you're not constantly reminded of the goodness of God, and you're burdened with stuff, with tasks and things that people say that God is demanding, that God wants you to do, or just really overburdened in your life, you know, you really think, you know, you almost don't blame people, even though, you know, it is that person's responsibility to seek the Lord for themselves, you know, but you almost can't blame people for saying, you know, almost feel like they were better off and less burdened before they were ever even saved. Right? Like, being saved is more of a burden than not even having ever known before. But obviously that's not at all the truth. It's just that when people are overburdened, you know, here they said, we're not better for us to have to return to Egypt, because they see their trouble, but they're not seeing the goodness of God. You know, and the Lord, you know, we were just reading even recently in Hebrews chapter 2, I think, that even though you don't see everything under the feet of Jesus that is clearly in the world, you know, but we do see him. And when you can see the Lord, and when you can be reminded of his goodness, and when you can be reminded of what he's given you, what you have on the inside, instead of all these other doctrines and all this other gospel that talks about these commandments that are burdensome and the things that God's requiring of everyone, that is not really the truth of just the obedience of faith, you know. You know, that's another thing, just as in our wanderings, you know, we were in Atlanta for a couple of days, and just the thought of obedience of faith kept coming to mind, and I just kept thinking, like, how many Christians that are walking the earth today know and understand that their only obedience is faith in Jesus? Like, it is such a thing that we, in our small little bubble here, can take, you know, just for granted, right? But just think back just a few years ago, before, you know, before we learned the things that we know now from the Lord, how overburdened were you? I mean, I would be sitting down doing my bills, right? Adding up, you know, I had an Excel spreadsheet that I used to keep my bills on, and I would mentally make a note of the fact that I have to make sure that I had a category called tithe, and that I have to put it first, because if you don't honor God first with your finances, right, that's where your financial problems are coming from, because you don't honor God first with your finances. And that when you do that, that when you honor God first with your tithe, that's when your finances are blessed, you know. And that would seem like such a normal thing today, you know, even within the church and Christian circles, and it is such a blasphemy and a spit in the face to what Jesus Christ has done, as though he's done nothing. That the provision, like, it's the crux of the thing is that, you know, to be able to show people the provision of Christ, like what he did, and then everything that he provided, which is everything that we could ever want or need, right? All the life that we could ever need, all the godliness on the inside of us, you know, but instead overburdening people with whatever well-intentioned and well-meant doctrines, but it doesn't matter. It's burdening and enslaving people to a thought that is, it's not correct, right? To take something that was intended to be something that would lead people to the Lord, and instead, you know, putting burdens on people about, you know, if you're not honoring your father and your mother. I remember being in a men's group, teaching this myself to a bunch of men, right? That the reason why they have the problems that they have with their daughters is because of their own behavior, their own lustful thoughts and their own behaviors is why, because when you open up, you know, it's almost disgusting to even say it, right? That when you open up the floodgates by your thoughts, right? You're letting the enemy in, and just all of this stuff, right? Like, I remember teaching that to a bunch of men, and I remember, like, it's just such an accepted thing because people think that makes sense, but it makes sense only when you're looking at the world, right? But when you say that and you look at Jesus, it makes no sense at all. So it just, you know, I don't know exactly, you know, I had given thought to, you know, what that could mean to us that know it. I mean, obviously being reminded of our obedience, being just faith in Jesus, it's an awesome thing for us to remember. But I think it's a cool thought to be aware of is the lack of popularity that message has among the church, just so that we know, so that you know when you're talking to other Christians, when people mention things to you, like, it's good to be able to draw something like that out and know, hey, you have this awesome, awesome news that people need to know. And it, like, that right there is such a nugget of, it's such gold, right, to be able to know that when you're talking to people that are believers, to see if the Lord provides an opportunity for that to come up. Like, did you know, like, are you aware of, like, what the Lord says is our only obedience as Christians, right? And sometimes, you know, it could be that blunt to just ask the question and just get into the conversation, but I don't know, it's just such a cool thing to think about. It's very normal for us to hear that obedience is faith. And you always hear it, oh, we have an article online and it explains all about obedience as faith. But so, a cool thing to remember, and a cool thing to also remember the fact that it's not common. It's not common knowledge. Not common knowledge in the church. And the fact that the goodness of the Lord is what leads men to repentance. Just today, the conversation that I was having was somebody was telling me about how they were talking to their pastor, and they were saying how, you know, it's okay, you know, to talk about the devil sometimes, you know, and it's good when, you know, I guess that's a good thing when people fear the devil, right? Listen to this, that when people fear the devil and it leads them to Jesus, and then they were saved. Like, people, in other words, getting saved because they feared hell. And I just told them, I said, you know what? There has never been a single person that has ever been saved because of their fear of hell. Because that you cannot be saved by fear of hell. You could only be saved by faith in Jesus. Like, you would think that Christians would know that like the back of their hand, right? That the only way for you to be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ, right? But it's so, you know what it is? It's so subtle with things that people would think would make sense. That, oh yeah, like, if you are afraid of the devil and you're afraid of hell, because obviously people preach that way a lot of times, right? Like, oh, you know, you have to come to Jesus because there's a judgment day coming, or the devil is out there and he's preying on this and doing all this stuff. But yet, you can't come to Jesus that way, right? I mean, you can be scared enough to hear, but it's a scary thing to try to figure out, like, what are you going to hear after you just heard that, right? I guess maybe they try to give them good news after they try to scare them into that. But I think it's an amazing thing when you get out of the comfort zone of what we normally hear, and you just talk to real people, real Christians that think that they're thinking correctly, and you realize, wow, how far off are people from just the what the Bible calls the simplicity of Christ, right? Just the simplicity of Christ is just such a thing. But anyway, it's good, right? We tonight, right, while you're while you're listening or wherever you are and whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. Just allow the Lord to be able to stir up the truths on the inside of you, things that you know, to remind you and to stir that stuff up, right? It's a cool thing to allow the Lord to stir up anything that you've ever heard, learning brand new things that you've never heard before, different colors of what the Lord has provided and given, beautiful things. That's awesome. But it's also such a cool thing to have things that maybe you've known for a while and are kind of just there, right? To stir that stuff up, it's exciting, right? It's good stuff. The gospel is awesome.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.